And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty might become rich, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who has gathered much did not have too much, and he who has gathered little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour he went out and still found others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
It's really good to see you here this morning as we gather before around the Lord's word and table. Well, shall we bow our heads and pray? Lord God, our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we are, as George said, thinking about giving over these next few weeks. We have a gift day coming along, I think probably in 2 weeks' time here. It varies a little bit between our four churches. And it's good to reflect on these things. It's also relatively easy to get it wrong when you come and try to talk to people about giving. And with that in mind, I thought I would read you a letter seeking funds from a Christian organisation. Perhaps best, first of all, to say it is a fictional Christian organisation. The letter is recorded in one of Adrian Plass's books. Here goes. Cosmos Evangelism Outreach, Universal Conversion College Project, Prefab Number 3, Armistice Row, Bagshot. Dear brother or sister, please excuse the faint print and poor quality of our newsletter, but funds are low as we enter the 98th phase of our project to build the Universal Conversion College. As you know from our previous letter, we are aiming for a total sum of £23.5 million. At present, we have just topped the £13.50 mark. And it is marvellous to see the work grow. Only last week, one of us found 5 pence in the precinct, and we have also had a number of Tizer bottles donated, which should realise a return substantially close to the sum of 30 pence. I think we're probably in about 1985 money here. It is a great encouragement when you are living by faith as we are to see how all that is needful is provided. We eat regularly. It is my turn to eat on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it is amazing how many games and activities can be successfully organised in the dark. It occurred to me last night as I lay trying to sleep on the linoleum that our policy of never asking for financial support is what separates us from those projects which seem to be constantly begging. The space provided at the bottom of this letter for Barclay card numbers is purely intended for those who feel personally led to share their wealth and comfort with brothers and sisters fighting a lonely battle on the rugged frontiers of Christian endeavour. Some have queried the fact that one of our original prophetic words, to the effect that the college would be built and the whole of England and Wales converted by last Wednesday, has fallen a little short of fulfilment. We now feel led to say, however, that we believe this is due to a spirit of meanness in some individual outside the project. We prayed for him or her last night as we read the story of Ananias and Sapphira by candlelight. Do you know that story, friend? Yours, Vernon Rawlings. P.S. We are also anxious that you should not leave large sums of money to the college in your will, unless you are absolutely sure that you wish to support the Lord's work rather than leave the money to people who are already comfortably off. We're talking about giving. When you stand up to speak about giving, it's easy to get it wrong. And if I do today, I'm sorry about that. As you'll see, Christian faith has much to say about the joy, the grace of giving. And yet, it can easily turn into what feels like an exercise in moral arm-twisting and the like. Always worth a read of Adrian Plass. And today I do want to encourage you that generosity is a great characteristic of the Christian life. And 2 Corinthians 8 is a really good place to start with that. We'll have a bit more from 2 Corinthians 9 in a few weeks' time, and for our harvest service, we're going to be thinking about giving from a different angle in the context of harvest from Deuteronomy chapter 26. So let's get started. Why is giving? Why is generosity important in the Christian life? And the first reason, George has already alluded to it, is because we serve a generous God. Look at verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 8 if you've got a Bible around. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Paul is talking here to the Corinthians about money. The church in Jerusalem, that sort of foundational place for Christian faith, is struggling for various reasons. Paul is trying to raise funds to help them. The Corinthians initially pledged to help with that collection. And Paul is now basically encouraging them to do what they said they would do. There's a complex backstory there you can go and read about for yourself. And because Paul is talking about money, he uses the language of money to picture the work of Christ. But his point isn't at heart a financial one. Jesus had all the riches of the heavenly realms of life with his Father. Yet he willingly gave them up to enter the humble condition of humanity, even to that ultimate extent of death. Why? So we could be saved, so we might find the route opened up in our turn to the riches of life with God. He became like us so that we in our turn might become like him. And as we look at the actions of Jesus, we see a grace willing to give up its own rights for the sake of meeting the needs of others. Where Jesus leads, we are to follow, a generous people, following a generous God. And that's the first thought here. And the second is this: we should be generous because love is the overflow of joy which gladly meets the needs of others. The overflow of joy that gladly meets the needs of others. Look at the Macedonians in verses 1 to 4. They're not wealthy people. They're going through very hard times in their own lives and ministry. Yet God gives them grace. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Giving, Paul wants to say to us, isn't some sort of general moral duty. It's a proper response to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ in our lives. It is part of our worship. Indeed, it is, Paul tells us in verse 8, a test of the sincerity of our love or of our faith. Behaving generously is the sort of thing people do in response to the gospel. So the Macedonians experience God's grace. That's their starting point. The grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. And their response, well, first, they were filled with joy. It had an impact on their lives. Not because God had made them materially well off, quite the opposite. They were in pretty bad shape. But because they had joy in God, joy in the experience of grace in their lives and in their church. And then what? Well, then their joy in God's grace overflowed in generosity to meet the needs of others. It's a lovely picture, isn't it, of something being filled up to the point where actually it can't keep things to itself. They have to flow out to those around them. The Macedonians heard about the troubles in Jerusalem, and they begged, they longed to pay their part in helping out. Even though you suspect Paul actually had looked at them and thought there's probably not very much these guys can do. The point is that just giving isn't what really matters here. The amount we give isn't what really matters here. The Macedonians probably didn't have all that much to give, but they gave generously of what they have. Do we give out of joy, out of love, cheerfully or begrudgingly? Generosity is a fruit, then, of God's grace in our lives, and so it's good that we do it. And we should pray for that right longing to feel generous. What does it look like? Well, it might be about giving of financial resources, and that's important. Think perhaps of our relationship with the church in Condoa. As a church, we regularly give some resources to support the work of Bishop Given there. And we're now going to do the same for the kindergarten project going forward. Do ask Jenny Hancox if you'd like to know more about these things. It's wonderful to see the work that they do and to be able to play a little part in supporting it in a place where, as we know, in the last few years, they've had famine. They've been very close to having nothing much at all materially. And actually, in those moments, too, we and many other churches around this diocese gave to support people in those times when food was not there to be had at all easily. That sort of financial giving matters. And we receive a return from that relationship in all sorts of ways, not financially, but in terms of prayer, in terms of support, in terms of the blessing we've heard of the groups that have gone out to be there. And actually, we know from Bishop Given that the thing he values much more than the money we give is our personal support, our relationship, our prayers as well. But over the next few weeks in the run-up to our gift day, we are going to be thinking about how we give to support the life of our church here in the parish. In a sense, giving to set some people, to set some properties free to support us all in the life of Christ. It could look a bit selfish, I guess, just paying the dues to my own club. It could certainly look quite self-interested for the likes of me, who gets a stipend from the church, to allow me to give my time to ministry. That's the idea of the thing. But I hope that isn't the point here. William Temple once described the church as the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of non-members. And while we certainly aim to grow together as God's people in our life of worship and fellowship, that's far from the end of the story. We aim to be those who work with and for our community as salt and light. And we aim to take the gospel to those who've not heard it, to be Christ's witnesses to all. The church, when it's doing its job right, looks always beyond its walls. And we need to support that work. So giving financially is important. I'd encourage you to think and pray about your own financial giving over the next few weeks. But it's not the only thing. It might equally be our time or our care. It might be those personal resources that we have in Christ to use for his service. Look at verse 5. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Those Macedonians did give of their limited financial means, but their first response was not that. Their first response was to give themselves to God and to his work, and then to give themselves in support of Paul and the apostolic mission he was on. So good in these weeks, too, to think about your part in the life of our church family and the work of Christ in this area. What do you do in that life? What do you give? What do you have to give? George has mentioned our never-ending need for people to help run our ministry to young people, both on Sundays and at other parts of the week. And we could look around our church family and see other places where would be wonderful to see new gifts released in service of all of us, of the church family, of all the church does. Maybe the Lord is saying to you, actually, there's some ministry here that I should be a part of. And in all this, Paul is clear that it isn't the amount that matters. We should give generously of what we have, not what we don't have. That financial support from Macedonia may not have been great, for they were poor people, but they were giving when the rich Corinthians weren't. As Paul puts it in verse 13, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. We give from what we have, what we have been given in turn, not from what we don't have. So Paul encourages the Corinthians to make good their earlier desire to give for the poor of Jerusalem. He encourages us too to generous living as followers of a generous God, as our joy at the grace we have received overflows to others, as the practical use of the gifts we have received for the life of church and world. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. A moment of quiet. Maybe good to reflect where you stand on this, whether there is something here you would want to think or pray about yourself today or over the coming weeks. Moment of quiet. Lord God, our Father, we thank you that your Son was willing to come from the riches of heaven to the poverty of human life, and to do so that we in our turn might know those riches that he had in the beginning. Father, thank you for the many ways in which we are rich, and we pray that out of our understanding of your grace, our knowledge of your love, our call into fellowship with our brothers and sisters, our desire for your gospel to spread to the world, that you would encourage us too to be generous, to know what to give of ourselves to you and to the life of your church, and to know what to give of our resources for your work and for the good of many who have little. In Jesus' name. Amen.